This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Daily Digest with me, T. Shao-Yik, Juliet Jacobs and Lim Soo-Ann. Before the break, we discussed using our natural resources to tackle climate change, and now we are looking to the home, specifically to the issue of hitting children at home. So Scotland is due to announce this week or whether it will ban the smacking of children by introducing the Children Equal Protection from Assault Bill. This follows Wales, which just last week introduced the Children Abolition of Defence of Reasonable Punishment Bill. So it's this week that the Scottish Parliament's Equalities Committee, whether they are going to announce whether they will back legislation to make smacking a criminal offence.
Yep, but other countries are actually way ahead of them. Sweden was the first to ban it back in 1979, and this was over 10 years before the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, or the CRC, was adopted in 1990. However, progress throughout the rest of the world has actually been rather slow. Smacking is only banned in 58 countries currently. And these include Germany, Spain, Ireland, Netherlands, Israel, Brazil, France, as well as all the Scandinavian countries.
And other major countries which have not banned smacking include the US, Canada, Mexico, Italy, Australia and Japan. But last month, Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe announced that they would be tabling revised laws against child abuse, which will ban the physical punishment of children. I think this has something to do with that child who was...
Two cases, actually, right? Where they were actually kicked and beaten.
Really, very terrible.
Yeah. You know, whether you want to say it's in the name of discipline or parenting, but the results were just shocking.
Shocking, right? Yeah. And because the childcare and the school were afraid of the father, they didn't take any action.
Even though
the girl reported it.
And
she ended up being killed, one of the girls. She ended up dying.
Oh, that's tragic. So yeah, it's things like this, you know, when what you call discipline crosses that line and really has irretrievable consequences on children.
Yeah.
I mean, just some numbers. Globally, 1 billion children experience all forms of violence every year, emotional, physical, sexual. And we assume that this is violence that they face outside the home from strangers or predators. But actually, a lot of this is actually happening at home.
Yeah, I mean, now for sure, sexual violence from family members is one serious issue, but corporal punishment at home is another largely hidden problem. And I suppose this is because it's very hard for the authorities to kind of define what's, you know, wrong within the private confines of the home. And this is common across the world. Scotland allows for a defence of what they say is justifiable assault for parents who physically punish their children.
Assault,
right? I mean, that word. While England has a what they call reasonable chastisement defense. So some interesting phrases there.
Yes.
Yep. So, you know, does this mean that parents have the right to punish children in their home, you know, whenever, whatever way they see fit? No, not according to international human rights and children's rights law. Because according to the CRC, which actually turns 30 this year, Article 9 clearly states that children should be protected from all forms of physical or mental violence.
Actually, that's Article 19.
Article 19.
Yeah, and Malaysia has ratified the CRC. According to an article in The Conversation, laws like the ones Scotland and Wales are proposing basically implement human rights obligations set out in international law. And countries that don't make this move are in danger of violating international law. And that kind of means that in Malaysia, we can also be held to task if our laws and norms, I guess, you know, breach these international standards. Our Child Act does protect children against physical injuries that are inflicted in a non-accidental manner, but there are no specific provisions regarding physical punishment as a form of discipline, whether at home or in school. And to just hazard a guess, I guess any move to ban smacking or caning of children would be very controversial in Malaysia.
Spare
the rod, spoil the child, they will say.
Yeah, it's been an issue that has come up time and time again in Malaysia. And so I think smacking and other forms of corporal punishment at home have a fixed pace in our largely authoritarian society. Even the fundamental idea of human rights is so alien to our culture. You know, the government wants to sign a particular human rights document and then we have protests.
Yep.
Let alone children's rights.
Exactly, yeah.
So
Back in 2017, though, our Evening Edition team did speak to Marta Santos Pais. So she's the United Nations Secretary General's Special Representative on Violence Against Children. So when it comes to the UN, she is like the authority when it comes to child protection and violence in particular.
Right.
She spoke about what kind of violence is unacceptable.
Well, violence can be manifested in many different ways. Physical violence is obviously something that very often leaves bruises, so people get to understand that it has happened. You may kick a child or hit a child or use a canny to you know, punish or correct a child. That is obviously non-acceptable. Emotional violence is very often difficult to identify, but if you humiliate a child and make the child feel unvalued and unrecognized, of course, that may leave scars that may last even longer. And it's very hard to identify, and very often it's very hard for the child even to explain what goes on.
I mean, parenting is quite obviously, well, quite possibly, I would say, the most difficult job in the world, and nobody is perfect at it. Marta explained what basic principles we need to keep in mind when it comes to instilling discipline.
Starting in early childhood means that you can model the behavior of the parents in an affectionate, nurturing, caring manner. And the child naturally replicates the model the child sees. If mother and father are very friendly and supportive and ready to, discuss issues, being respectful rather than being violent, of course, for the child, that provides a tool that the child is going to use as the child grows in school or in the community or as a family member. But when we fail to do that and we expose the child in very early stages of the child's life to a violent environment, not only we are affecting and compromising the development of that child, including the brain development of the child, but in addition, we are giving a model of solving problems, conflicts, tensions, divergent opinions through violent means, which is, of course, a way of just seeing violence grow by itself rather than putting an end to it.
So the idea of positive parenting is something that we've discussed on a Health and Living segment previously with senior consultant psychiatrist Dr. Toh Chin Lee from the Ministry of Health. And we actually asked him how parents learn to become parents. I mean, there's no book. And after all, no parent deliberately, or at least we hope, sets out to be a bad parent. But how do some parents end up using harsh methods of discipline?
Very often, especially when they had poor examples, the way that their parents parented them, or they have no access to right information or good useful information, they may not be able to do a good job of parenting. Or they allow their feelings to overcome their instincts and they end up beating and hitting their children out of frustration, out of helplessness that they don't know any other way. And that's how we have a lot of child abuse, you know. People tend to demonize the so-called parents who abuse their children, but I look at them as actually people who should be helped, to go on a more useful path as parents rather than someone to be punished.
And is it possible to bring up children well without harsh physical punishment? So he also offered advice on how we can improve parent-child relationship.
Give responsibility, you give your child a gradual chance to prove themselves, to have their say, you know, to take part in decisions, and you guide them, all right, positively, without the need to use punishments like beating and hitting, then the chances are that, you know, you will do a much better job than if you do not listen to your child, or you give your child everything that the child wants without any limits, or if you neglect your child.
So many Malaysians today will say, oh, I was smacked or caned as a child, but I turned out okay.
Yeah. Did you though, really?
But does that justify it? So we asked Dr. Toh this very question.
There's always this argument, my father hit me and I turned out all right.
I always say, yeah, good. That's great, great for you. However, I wonder if your father had used positive parenting, whether you turn out even better than what you are now. That is my argument.
Okay.
So yeah, that's Dr. Toh's argument against hitting as a form of discipline. And I would tend to agree that smacking or hitting or any sort of physical punishment, you know, it could be effective in the short term, just in that moment to get the child to stop.
Mm.
But, you know, in the long term, you know, what value does it have in teaching the child what is right and wrong? Because you are actually just hitting out of anger and the child is reacting out of fear.
Exactly, yeah. But I don't know. I was never smacked or caned as a child. Parents, I think, were too old by the time I came along. They just didn't have the energy. But I'd like to think I turned out all right.
Yes, you have.
I was punished in other ways, of course, you know, like, you know, not allowed to play with certain things or... what other punishment did they do to me? Hardly anything. I'm such a good child, I must say. But
wow.
No, there's no exaggeration here. But no, honestly, it would be things like, you know, depriving me of something that I loved, you know, those sorts of things. And those were things I hated. Or, you know, just seeing my mother angry with me. You know, she never touched me, but, you know, just seeing her angry with me was enough to make me behave. And I just want to say that my husband, who was an extremely naughty child, according to, you know, accounts from family members, and he was beaten like nobody's business, you know, and it's fine, right? I mean, that's what was the norm.
The norm, yes.
Right?
Yes.
But obviously he still remembers it. He talks about it like it was torture, and I don't think he turned out that well. That's just a personal experience, personal, but I don't let them touch, I won't let him smack my daughter either. Yeah, I really don't think it works.
Yes. So for you, it's how you were brought up as a child, and you want to replicate that
exactly
for your children as well, right?
I don't see the point,
What about you, Suen?
I don't think, I can't remember ever being smacked or caned at home, but... In primary school, yes, there were some occasions. Yes. I mean, you know, when we don't finish our homework, the teacher will come up with the rotan.
Where, you know, can I ask, like, on which part of the body were you rotan by the teacher?
So, I think our discipline teachers were quite smart. We would get rotan on the hand that we don't write with. Or on the sole of our feet. So, because I think...
Oh, that's painful.
No, I don't think so.
Pretty
I think
tender, the skin there, no? Okay.
So it's
a hardened.
Maybe I can't really. I blocked that memory out. But yeah, because I think like they were like, well, if you write with your right hand, then you get rotan with your, on your left hand, and then you can still do your homework.
Well, I mean,
that's punishment right there.
The question is, does that kind of punishment, you know, change your behavior? Did it make you better students?
I mean, I remember many of us had that experience several times throughout our years, so I don't think that really helped
behavior
much.
Behavior is recurring, right?
Yeah, because, you know, we still put off our homework sometimes. And I think at that time, in primary school, you just want to be kids. You want to have fun. You want to learn. And I think sometimes, you know, kids forget to do homework because... They just want to be kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that is and the same is at home as well. I mean, when kids don't listen, you know, when they are quote unquote disobedient, there are reasons for that. And I mean, I have to admit, I have smacked my son. I have made up an imaginary extra son. I have smacked my son a few times, you know, in the past, and I've stopped doing it because I realized that there was just no impact.
Yeah.
And it made him more upset. It made me more upset. It was just this vicious cycle of emotions getting out of hand.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I can't talk to him rationally about what's right and wrong.
Exactly.
And he's at this formative age where you really want to be teaching the principles of behavior rather than just making them fear you.
Yeah. And I mean, I've spoken to some friends who like rotan their son, for example, right? And, you know, she told me that after a while, there's just no impact. You know, he just keeps getting naughtier. And he's like, rotan Mila, what are you doing? It's okay. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm on the side of, you know, deprivation of some sort. Not food and, you know, things like that. But sorry, you know, it sounded wrong. It sounded wrong when it came out. But, you know, those sorts of punishment.
Yes, like, you know, you don't get to play with your
toys
toy. Or watch your favorite TV show for a while.
Yeah, or you have to do homework.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, those sorts of punishment.
Yeah, but also, I mean, just a quick discussion around the idea of, you know, policing what parents do at home. I think a lot of people would find that very uncomfortable as well. What do you think about that?
I mean, who wants to like interfere in something that's happening in someone else's home, right? Unless, like, I've heard some neighbors, you know, the child crying and screaming, and I'm like, do I interfere?
I know, right? I have a lot of issues with that as well.
Exactly. And I remember another friend of mine who used to hear this child screaming and, you know, just like begging the parents to stop hitting. And so they actually took action and called the police. I don't quite know how it got settled. Of course, the parents are going to say, like, this is a very naughty child. You know, what are you going to do? But I guess maybe if you really feel like there's something's not quite right, I think your instinct will be able to kick in and tell you what's, you know, something that doesn't sound normal.
You can call the social welfare.
Another friend of mine, I don't know why I know so many people who've heard this abuse happening.
Maybe that just means it's so common, actually.
Yeah, perhaps, perhaps. So they actually wrote a letter and put it in the neighbor's mailbox and said, I can hear your child screaming. I really think you need to calm down. And it worked, you know, that I don't know if that just means that they hid it better, but at least there was no screaming and shouting at some late hours in the night. I don't know. It's hard to say.
I think it's just quite difficult to police what happens in the home as well. Like, even if you pass a law banning smacking, but how are you going to enforce it? I think that's the problem. Because like you say, parents can just hide it better. So how do you know if smacking has happened? And then, like, in the case of Japan, the child told teachers, but nothing happened.
I don't know if you remember the case in Sweden where a Malaysian couple was actually jailed for caning their children. I mean, the whole family was living in Sweden. They were posted there. And if I recall the facts correctly, I think one of the children had mentioned it to a teacher in school. And so, you know, the teachers with that in mind, and in Sweden was that first country to ever ban smacking. You know, I guess for them, it's the norm that the moment you hear about something like this, your red flags go up and you know who to report it to. Whereas in an environment where it's still permissive to hit children, you would just think, oh, that's normal, you know? So I guess that's where the law would kick in, that everyone in the community learns to keep an eye out.
And I must say that children who move from Malaysia to, let's say, Australia, for example, where some friends, kids, they were like, they told their parents, if you hit me, I'm just going to call.
I'm just going to report.
Don't touch me. And their parents are too afraid. They're like, oh, okay, wait till you get back to Malaysia. But of course, there's emotional and verbal abuse, right?
That's exactly. So, I mean, we have to bear in mind all forms of these kinds of, again, you know, if you just veil it in terms like discipline, you forget that there's long-term impact on the child. Shouting at them, calling them hurtful names, putting them down, all of that leaves scars on the kid.
And then affects how their future relationships also play out.
So
for those parents who do smack occasionally, a ban on physical punishment, I guess, may seem excessive. No parent, or at least we hope again, sets out to deliberately harm their child. But we have to remember that the law would be there to protect all children from all extremes of physical punishment. It's not just the letter of the law, but the spirit of it, I suppose, that moves a society towards collectively embracing this inalienable rights of the child.
So perhaps it's time for Malaysia to get in line with international standards and to think of more constructive ways to teach and discipline our children. Times are changing, after all.
I do know. I can imagine, though, a lot of people listening thinking, this is really like fluffy, hippy-dippy kind of parenting. Yeah, it's like, I smack my child and that's why they're, you know, a good member of society now.
But remember what Dr. Toh said. You know, if you hadn't smacked your child, could they have turned out better?
Well, who knows?
If you missed any part of this show, you can download the podcast at bfm.my or on our BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Live and Learn, Juliet will be speaking to lawyer and activist Saul Takahashi about human rights, more about human rights, and human security. This has been the Daily Digest. And before we leave you, here's Wilco with If I Ever Was a Child on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.